Two. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and we just entered 2011, a new year. So I want to welcome everybody to the call.
And let's see if we got that straightened out now. So our first question on the call today would be, I got to get it back here. I just lost it. Here we go. During my spouse's infidelity, he took several trips back home to visit his family, and during the visits, he was involved with another woman. he wants to take another trip to mend things with his family alone. I do not agree that he needs to mend things with his family. I do agree that he needs to mend things with his family, but not alone. This is a big trigger for me, and mending is needed. The mending is needed due to the infidelity, and I feel that it would be best for us both to talk to the family. He says that I need to trust him sometime and give him a little rope. We just attended EMS a month ago. Am I overreacting to his request? I would think not, depending on how far out the two of you are. I would also say, well, then you're going to have to give me a little time to learn to be able to trust. I mean, this is a really, really difficult thing for me, and I understand the need to talk with your parents alone, and I agree that it needs to be mended. I just don't know quite how to go about that and not be triggered, given the fact that part of the acting out occurred through this. The second thing that I would almost recommend, you know, is there a way for his family to come visit you and for him to have time with the family? I mean, I was just automatically thought that might be another alternative. I think that if he can show some trustworthiness in terms of his consistency over time, it's something that hopefully you'd be able to do. Additionally, you might find that the two of you creatively come up with some ways for you to be able to feel safe. In other words, if his parents pick him up at the airport, I would start thinking potentially along the lines of, is there anything that he could do that would allow me to feel like everything would be safe while he was gone, to help minimize the triggers? I don't know if that's helpful, but certainly, you know, I think that that might be one way you could look at it and get around it. Let's see here. So the second question for today is on forgiveness. In our follow-up EMS session last week, we discussed vertical and horizontal forgiveness. Is it truly possible to heal the relationship if the hurt party still questions whether there has been complete disclosure? If the hurt party knows there's an activity the unfaithful spouse has not acknowledged nor taken responsibility for, it's really difficult if you know of something or an activity that the other person doesn't take responsibility for or fails to acknowledge. My question would be, you know, are you absolutely sure? Certainly I'd want to know, have the two of you been able to talk about that particular incident and determine why, you know, what's he saying? What are you saying? Why is it that he has trouble accepting that and taking responsibility for that? That, to me, would be a very critical piece. This may be one of those situations where a third party, a therapist, stepping in and doing, you know, maybe helping the two of you process through this one particular item that has yet to be resolved. I think that could maybe be very, very helpful. And, you know, getting a third party to help you work through that. Otherwise, if you feel like there's not complete disclosure, it's going to be difficult to do for the other person to feel safe if you don't feel that they're taking responsibility. Now, on the other hand, if this is a single incident and he's done a really good job of taking responsibility for everything else, I would question then why this one point. And if it doesn't, if his pattern has been to very honest and accept things, and then you might want to even question yourself, is what I believe about this true? And why is he saying, why is he refusing to take responsibility for this one piece? What is it? And maybe there's some misinformation that you've got, and I'd want to make sure that's taken care of. Number, let's see here. So third question for the day. So here's a third question. Since my unfaithful husband has never been willing to work through my affair issues, I have a hard time feeling much emotional intimacy in the relationship. My husband feels like I don't want to let it die, and I feel like we just keep trying to bury it alive. My husband seems to feel that sex is the emotional path or the path to emotional intimacy. I guess I need it to be more a result of emotional intimacy. This is compounded because I had a few triggers during the holiday season and can't talk to him about it. Whenever I've tried, he usually responds with something like, because of who I am, I just can't go there, or it's just too hard on me to talk about this. It's not like things are horrible between us, and we do manage to get along fairly well in each other's company most of the time. However, the tension builds when he wants sex and I don't feel close enough to him to go there. I can't force myself to just give him sex so we can get over the issue for a little while. But how is that right? Oh, I can force myself to give him sex so that we can get over it for a little bit, but how is that right? I don't like the way it makes me feel, and I can't even enjoy the act of sex when it seems empty. Also, I really hate feeling like I'm just using sex as a way to buy myself a little peace and quiet. Any thoughts on why we have such different feelings about this? Any suggestions? Well, again, I think you need to go back to the research. You know, 85% of couples, as long as they're able to have a rational conversation about this topic and process it on an ongoing basis, actually do quite well. My first thought is just the shame that he experiences, that it's difficult for him to tolerate. I also feel like it almost sounds like there's a lack of understanding of the importance and why it's so blooming important for you to be able to talk about this. And I think, A, reading, giving him information about just research about this, I think is really important. You might look on Peggy Vaughn's website. She's got How to Help Therapists and Clients, a little PDF, and it talks about the statistics and what works for couples and what doesn't work for couples statistically. And if your husband's a very analytical person, that might be a great resource for him. That's at dearpeggy.com. And in that PDF, and I think the PDF is free, you can literally look at that and or find those statistics, and it will give you some help in working through this. And in terms of just using sex as a way of connecting, it, you know, again, he probably doesn't understand this, but typically for men, since our genitals are on the outside, you know, sex isn't an issue of the heart. Men are sexual. He's right. Men typically are sexual, which then leads to a sense of connection and intimacy, while women tend to be sexual as a result of that intimacy that has occurred and that connection. And so we're pretty different. As I say, you know, men's genitals are on the outside, which is why it's external for them. Women's are on the inside, which is why it's internal for them. And I think just a little education might really help him out. And when you say, why do we have such different feelings on this? It's just simply, he's a guy and you're a girl. And education for both of you would be one of the things I would suggest. And especially his beginning to understand what it's going to take ultimately for you to heal through this process. Let's see. I believe that is all of our questions for the day. Happy New Year to everyone on the website here. I'm glad you guys have made it. It is January 3rd. I don't think I announced that, 2011. And look forward to talking to you guys next week. To life. Bye-bye.